Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my God. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
God bless you all. It's nice to see you all. Do we know that chorus, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Fear not. Okay, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 43. That's not it, but thank you. Okay. All right. Okay. See, I don't know what I would fear. Do you know the song? Then just wait. Okay. All right. Verse one. Okay. And this is actually the text. Okay. So I'm going to sing the text, I guess, to you before we start. Okay. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Minor key. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Yeah, we'll have to get the chords in there for that one. Okay, but that's our text today. All right. We're gonna stand, we're gonna read one more text. Thank you, musicians. Nice to see you playing. Is your ear better? No, not yet, but step of faith. Okay. So that's Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. I have called you by thy name. But we find later, and we're going to read in Isaiah 49. Just turn over a few pages to Isaiah 49, and we're going to take another text. All right? Okay. So God says to them, fear not, I've called you by thy name, you are mine. And now in Isaiah 49, it says from verse 1, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. He made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered. And yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of my Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would bring your blessings out of your word today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. I love the word of God, and I love how the word of God relates to everyday things, and we can draw lessons from everyday things. So today I want to minister on a little thought, knowing your name and ketchup. Okay? We're going to bring ketchup into this. Okay. And so you see, God says, fear not, I've called you by your name. I know your name, and I'm calling you by your name. And later in there, it says, okay, now the revelation of I've called thee by thy name comes, and it hits the person, and it says, I am called by God. So do you recognize? So that's the first step. God is calling your name. Do you recognize that God has called your name? And can you say, I am called by God? All right? And I trust you can. And I trust you're here today because you can say that. But he doesn't stop there when that inspiration strikes him. He said, God has called my name. All right? And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. He, in the shadow of his hand, hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. What's a polished shaft? It's an arrow that you take special care of so that, you know, it's ready for action. Because the accuracy of an arrow depends on the shaft. Okay? But now it's gone from God says, I've called your name, to you saying, I know God has called my name. And he has called me for a purpose. There's a reason why he called my name, because there's something in me that he's formed in me that he's trying to express, that he's trying to put in action, right? Exactly. Everyone with me? Because now what you're doing is you're starting to know your name. You're starting to know your name. You're starting to know why God called you, why God made you exactly the way he made you, why God is saying, I've prepared you for a work, I've prepared you to demonstrate my glory, and you need to know your name, you need to know why you've been called. Okay? And this, if we turn back, we'll just take a quick example in Exodus chapter 33. And usually when I do this, I take a little bit of time to put bookmarks in and or have my Bible with the tabs in it, but I don't today. So that's good, because I have to turn and find the scriptures just like you do. And so hopefully everyone's got it by now. All right. So here's Moses. He comes down from the mountain. He punishes the children of Israel. And the Lord says, hey, you know what? I'm done with these guys. Just not even going to go with you. You go up to the land and I'm not going to go with you. And Moses is like, no, that wasn't the deal. It is written. You told me before. Okay. You told me before. Okay. And then it says in verse 12, and Moses said to the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So now he's saying, we have a relationship, God. You've said, you've called me by the name, and you know me, and I'm your servant, and you've been giving me grace. And if all that is true, if you have called me, and I do have a relationship with you, it's like, what you're saying isn't good enough for me. Okay? Now, isn't that a bold thing for a person to say to God? What you're saying, God, it doesn't meet the standards that I expect of your behavior, Lord. Okay? That's basically what Moses is saying here. So I have a challenge to you. Do you know that God has called you by your name? Do you know that genuinely? Okay? And if you know that God has called you by your name, that means that you found grace in his eyes, and he knows your name and you know his name. And can you be like Moses? Are there situations where you can say, Lord, I really don't like this. Excuse me. And I think you should be doing something about it. Yeah? Because you said you know my name. We'll get to catch up in a few, Levi. I can see you just like waiting for that, but we'll get there. Okay. Oh. And so now, therefore, I pray thee, and asking the right way, it's not making demands, it's just laying it out. If I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy ways that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this people is thy people, this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with you. Like, all right, Moses, you're right. Isn't that quite something? Wouldn't you like to be in the position where a situation comes up and you say, Lord, this just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like you. And God says, you know what? You're right. I'll make a change on your behalf because I know your name. Ah, that's just wonderful. And he said, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. For wherein shall it be found that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separate, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the thing also which thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. So do you know what your name means in front of God? Do you know what it means to have God know your name and to call your name and the position that gives you in front of God? Now, a name is a word that we use to describe something. All right? So when I say Linnell, all right, and I say to you, have you met our dear sister Linnell? If you've met Sister Linnell, then that name conjures up an image of Sister Linnell. And you know her, as much as you know her, is as much as it conjures up that image to you, okay? So you know her saying, is it all right if I pick on you, Sister Linnell? Should I pick on someone else? All right. I'll pick on someone else. Who shall I pick on? I don't know. But Stephen, he's fairly robust. All right. If I say Stephen Carlin, that's going to conjure up an image of Stephen that will bring about certain thoughts to your mind about, you know, oh, he's a bit goofy. Oh, he's good at piano playing. Oh, he preaches. Oh, he does this. Oh, he does that. And as much as you know him, that name will conjure up an image of him. It will bring an image of him to your mind that explains, here's what a Stephen Carlin is, right? Now, that's going to be different for different people, okay? It's going to be a whole lot different for his wife than for us. I mean, if you were to ask my wife and say, tell me about Derek. Oh, I hope she'd tell you some good things, but she has the potential to tell you some of the worst things about me, because she knows you, me, far better than any of you know me. Okay? She could tell you some horrible stories. And what's worse, they'd be true. All right? But you might not know anything about, so that it doesn't come to your mind in the same way. So as much as you know a person, as much as you've experienced a person, you know what that name means. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And there are other things that are like that. They're words that describe something so well that we use them because they wrap up the meaning of something that's hard to describe. So, and sometimes they come from other languages and they describe something so well that now they're introduced into the English language, like deja vu. How many people know what deja vu is? Okay. It's a French word for the feeling that comes when it's like, man, I feel like I've done exactly this same thing. Exactly these emotions have happened to me before. That's deja vu. And if you would try to explain it just using English words, it would take a couple of sentences, okay? Angst. How many people have ever experienced angst? Okay, yeah. Angst, a deep dread about life, about freedom, about meaning. It's not anxiety, it's not fear, it's something that, and it's a word, it's actually a German word. Okay. Here's another one, a good one. You think about this. Because this al dente. How many people know what al dente is? Okay. Al dente means cooked until firm to the bite. Okay. How many people have cooked spaghetti al dente? Okay, how many people have tried to cook spaghetti al dente and got it too hard or too soft? Yeah. Now, because there's an understanding that we can have of a word that's up in your head that says al dente, it means you cook it till it's, you know, kind of you bite on it and it's kind of firm, but it's cooked all the way through and it's not kind of mushy. It's al dente. And then you go and you get a pot and you try and cook this pasta al dente and you're taking that's still crunchy in the middle. It's like, and you have to have kind of an experiential, something has to happen to you where you try it more times than just once until, and it can vary on a whole bunch of things, you know. Your cook time for al dente pasta can vary on your altitude, the atmospheric conditions, how much salt you put in the water. That's why we employ chefs to, you know, figure out all that stuff. But it's about saying, all right, al dente is a word that we borrow to describe something that takes a while to explain in English. But then when we put it into action, it takes a while for us to have the experience. And usually you've got to have somebody like, here, taste this spaghetti. This is perfect spaghetti. This is al dente. And then you go away and you try it and you get al mushi or, you know what I mean? So when, just because you understand something, it doesn't mean you can reproduce it. But understanding it is the first step in saying, oh, there's something I can do about this. All right. So someone tells us a word, explains what it means, and then we connect it to an experience, and then we can use that word to recognize and to reproduce or start to attempt to reproduce the experience. Is that making sense? All right. So your name is like this. When God says, Stephen, all right, for him, it sums up what Stephen really is in all his completeness. We don't understand that. Stephen doesn't even understand that. But when God calls his name, he's calling him to say, there's something inside you that I want to unfold and show what a Stephen Carlin really is to everybody. Okay? And I'm going to unfold that, and the first thing, I'm going to call your name, and I'm going to tell you, hey, you don't belong on that side of the fence, you belong on this side of the fence with me. And that's the first thing that God is going to reveal to us, that we belong on the same side as God. Yeah? So when God calls our name, Stephen, Derek, Rachel, whatever, he calls us to say, I'm going to show you something about yourself that you haven't known, you belong with me. And he might call your name for quite a while before you finally understand, God is calling me because I have to change something that makes me who I really am. All right? That makes me understand what God has put into my name. Okay? And it might take you a few attempts to try and serve God and fail and turn away from God and turn back to God till you finally realize, just like cooking al dente spaghetti, yeah? It might take you a while to actually get to the point where you're like, oh, this is what God has for me. This is where I'm most comfortable. This is actually the best expression of who I am. All right? And we can see this in the scripture. Let's turn over to Judges chapter 6. Surprising things that God says to people. All right. Verse 11, then there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. See? So God came down and he called Gideon by his name and he said, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon was like, yeah, sure. If God is with us, why are we hiding? Where's all the miracles gone? Why am I hiding my wheat in the wine press if I'm a mighty man of valor? All right? And God had to really take Gideon by the hand and say, no, you are a mighty man of valor. Here, I'm going to show you how. I'm going to uncover what's inside you. And it took a long time, and Gideon really did not step into, I am a mighty man of valor, immediately. It took him a lot of cowardly moments, or what we might consider cowardly moments. Lord, show me a sign. Here's a sign. Oh, show me another sign. Here's another sign. And even up to the point where he's obeyed the Lord in everything, and God said to him, Gideon, listen, you're a mighty man of valor, but if you're still afraid, go down to the camp with your servant and have a listen to what they're saying. Yeah? It took all of that to bring Gideon to a point of recognizing why God had called his name and why he had described him as a mighty man of valor. Okay? Nowhere in Judges 6 will you find Gideon acting like a mighty man of valor, like our conception, or maybe even his conception of a mighty man of valor. So when God calls you, he doesn't just call you and say, you're on my side. He's going to call you and he's going to say, this is what I've called you for. What, me? What, how? That's not me at all. As God says, yes, this is you. Okay. And we can see this. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Just take another example of this from the scripture. Before we get into ketchup. So, all right. And it came to pass, verse 1, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. So here's Jesus calling Simon Peter by name, saying, Simon, let down your nets. And Simon says, I recognize in your presence, I'm just a sinner. And Jesus says, no. I've called you for more than that. This is what I've called you for. You're going to be a fisher of men. Okay? God has called you for a purpose. You're going to feel inadequate for that purpose. You're going to feel like that isn't me. But God is unfolding to you what he's called you for. He's unfolding to you what he already knows about your name. That makes sense? And you need to recognize, you need to know your name. So, yeah. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right. Taste. How many? Now, let's break down taste for a second. All right. How many, and you can put up your hand or answer, whatever. How many? Taste is what you feel on your tongue, like the sensations that come from your tongue. How many types of tastes, basic tastes, are there? Anyone? Okay, so when I was growing up, there were four. Okay. That's what they taught me at school, at the science in school. And they had this experiment where you drop different things onto different parts of your tongue because they said the taste sensors were concentrated in different areas. And the four tastes were sweet, salty, sour, and bitter. Okay. But now, there is some debate on the sixth, okay? There might be seven, but now it's recognized that there are five tastes. Yes, umami. How many people know what umami is as a taste? Okay. So umami, very interesting taste, discovered in 1908, if anyone likes spiritual dates. That's interesting. And it's the taste, savory is, umami is a Japanese word because there was a Japanese scientist who first discovered and really went into detail of what is that taste? Why does this particular food taste this way? And so he got the food and he managed to separate out the particular molecule that caused that kind of flavorful taste. Anyone know what that molecule is? Yeah, monosodium glutamate. Yes, MSG. MSG is the is a concentration of that particular taste, which is why food tastes better if you put MSG on it. And it wasn't until the 80s that scientists actually recognized we have sensors in our tongue. Our taste buds can actually distinguish the taste of monosodium glutamate, and it adds a certain richness to flavor that we look for, okay, that we find attractive. The thing is with if you it's one of those flavors that maintains its taste in your mouth for a long time, which is why if you have Chinese food with MSG on it and there's too much MSG, you eat it, it's really nice. And then for a couple of hours afterwards, you're like, my tongue feels like it's coated with this particular taste. Anyone had that experience? Okay. Maybe not. Maybe it's just me. All right. And so here's where ketchup comes into it, because ketchup, which is actually the most widely used sauce globally, okay, ketchup actually contains just about the perfect balance of all five flavors, taste experiences. So it's salty and it's sweet. It has a bit of sourness, it has a bit of bitterness, and it has a bit of umami in it. So there are some natural sources of umami, like tomatoes actually have that. So when you eat a tomato, and now it starts to make sense. Why do people pair a tomato with burgers, with meat? Because it enhances the flavor of that, because it has that glutamate in the tomato. Why do you have, why is that tomato paste, you know, like the red sauce, what do you call it? Like when we make spaghetti bolognese, that red, why is that so popular? Okay. Now, it's interesting because it's popular because we think of it as an Italian spaghetti bolognese. It's from Italy. Well, kind of, yeah, but kind of, you know, the noodles came from China and the tomatoes came from South America and it was just brought together in Italy. All right. But what I'm trying to do is say, okay, for years, and there's really interesting stories about umami, where someone was in chef school, okay, and in the 80s or 90s, and he had read about MSG. And so he brought it to the teacher, and the teacher was like, nope, I'm a chef. I do not use these kind of additives, okay? We don't use that. And so he would make a soup, and this guy said, he would make exactly the same soup for like the, you know, not for the classes, but for food afterwards. And he would add some MSG to it. And everyone just loved this soup. And the professor came to him and he's like, what are you doing? He says, like, it's just your recipe with some MSG added into it. Just a little bit of flavor enhancer. And he said that changed the mind of the professor to say, oh, maybe there is a purpose in this. I add salt. Imagine what food would be like if you never added salt. So he said, this is just another additive that enriches the flavor, enriches the, if I'm just relying on the natural salt, because that food, you know, like a piece of meat has natural salt, but we add salt to make it more flavorful. So what I'm saying is, even though you can have a professor-level understanding of food, if it's based on something that is 100% accurate, those four tastes and combination of those four, and then something new is unveiled to you, if you stay in that, no, this is who I am, I'm just doing it as I've learned, and that unfolding of umami, and you reject that, you are not going to have the fullness of the experience that's possible by people who integrate that. Yeah. Right? And so what I'm trying to bring out here is and even understanding that ketchup was popular before they discovered umami, because it blended those things together. And now you can say, why is this so popular? It's because there's an undiscovered taste in here that people really like. And if I can extract that and bring that to other places, then people will like my food even more. Of course, there's overuse of MSG. So, you know, like you can make food too salty. You can take a new revelation. Do you understand what, how to track this in your life? God is trying to bring something new to you that he wants you to integrate and to say, this is the recipe that I have for you, and put a bit more love, put more, a bit more forgiveness. And people have lived for, I trust he won't mind. Brother Isaiah Brooks, the Lord really laid on my heart to go down and visit him. I went down and visited him, and I had a message on my heart to preach for him, but I didn't. You know, as soon as he saw me, he said, I knew you were going to preach. And so he asked me, are you staying till the evening service? And I said, yes. And he said, will you preach then? And he said to me afterwards, if you weren't staying for the evening service, I would have asked you to come up and preach. So it's just amazing when the Lord puts things on. And that's not to big myself up. But Brother Isaiah Brooks served the Lord for years. Wonderful brother, man of God. Okay, I preached that sermon, and afterwards he told me that helped him for something he had been struggling with or he hadn't recognized for years. Now, this isn't saying to, and I had no idea about it. It's not saying to say, saying this to say, look at me and how I do this, or look at Brother Brooks or how bad he is. It's just God has a time in all of our lives to open our eyes to something that we hadn't seen before, that now it's the time to take care of, okay? And that's going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to me, and it's even going to happen to people as godly and who'd served the Lord for years, like Brother Brooks. There's always an unfolding where God is trying to bring something new. And now there are two problems that we have when God brings us something new. The first problem is we ignore it because we say, hey, I've been trained this way. Classical foretaste, don't give me any of that MSG. I'm just staying here. And we lose some of the flavor that and the taste and see, then the goodness that God wants to bring us. We lose some of that. Okay? The other area is to say, oh, wow, let's forget everything we've learned before. We're just going to concentrate on MSG. Let's get some of that white powder. Let's try it on ice cream. Let's try it on, you know, let's just overload ourselves with this new revelation. Yeah? God isn't calling us to do that. He's calling us to integrate it into all the flavors that he already has, into all the revelation and the things that God is already doing for us. And he's saying, now's the time to add a little bit of this. Okay? As you can imagine, if you're cooking and you receive the revelation of al dente, and you're like, al dente, it's good for pasta. It's good for cabbage. Okay? And you're like, it's good for, well, now we can go, what else? It's good for mashed potatoes. It's like, probably not. Probably not good for mashed potatoes. Okay? So there's a way of saying, here's where it's appropriate to apply this, and here's where it's not appropriate to apply this. Okay? And what he's doing is he's bringing to us revelations, things inside ourselves, all right? Like umami, that for years had existed, but no one had recognized it. For years, there are things in you that exist, but you don't recognize. And now God's trying to bring out that understanding so you know more about what your name means to God. So you can understand more, so you can include it in more, so you can be changed. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, showing us who we are, not just by preaching and understanding in our minds, okay? Because I can preach to you about al dente pasta, and you can be like, yeah, that's the best kind of pasta, All right. But how many can make a good al dente pasta? Those who have practiced it the most. So it's to start practicing and bringing these things. Okay. So if you think about the recipe of our lives, okay, that perfect balance of all those tastes. So in a way, Jesus is God's perfect ketchup. Yeah, the perfect balance between all the things that God wants to see. And he is bringing out in us the same ketchup recipe, right? The same balance between all the different flavors that can be applied in different ways. All right. Showing you what is in your name right now. Because in you is that perfect blend. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, okay? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, get the Holy Spirit, because that's like the beginning of the recipe. And everything else is just developing that. So the first step, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall be born again. And once the Holy Spirit is operating, now God is trying to bring out the fullness of what your name means to him. Yeah, if any man therefore be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What's become new? God is telling you what your name means in his light, not what your name means, you know, to your wife or to your children or to your friends, but to God. And that's where we're going to. All right. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. God is trying to bring these different flavors, these different things to understand what we are and to bring out what's in us. And we can find this in 2 Peter and yeah, we've read this many times, but let's go there because it's good. And besides all this, God's recipe, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. How many people got a recipe book at home? Where you turn the pages and there's I like cake, so we're going to take a cake. There's a picture of a magnificent cake. It's perfect. It's a slice has been cut out. You can see all those perfect crumbs. The icing is just drizzled over the top. There are cherries. They're exactly lined up the way they should be on one side of the page. That's the picture. And then on the other side of the page is the recipe. Okay. And you're like, if I do this, I'm going to get this. Okay? And so you start. All right? And you start. And there are people I know in my life, and they're like, recipe. I don't have margarine. Oh, I'll just put in an extra stick of butter. I don't have turmeric. I'm going to use basil instead. Okay? I don't have paprika. Let's put in some cayenne pepper instead. All right? Whatever it is. And they kind of change the recipe based on what they have available. And then I see some people laughing at the back. Then they get to the end and they pull out their cake and they're like, that doesn't look like the picture. You know, there's a big kind of dip in the middle where... You know, I've been there, brothers and sisters, all right? And so you say, okay, let's go back to the recipe and let's try it again. Why didn't it work? Well, it could be because, you know, you use baking soda instead of baking powder, all right? Yeah. It could be because you used whole wheat flour because it was healthier instead of white flour. Not so healthy, all right? Or it could be because of things that are beyond your knowledge, you keep on putting it into the oven, but one day you decide to put a thermometer into the oven, and where your oven says, you know, 220, it's actually baking at 120. And, you know, and it could be something that's beyond your knowledge to find out. All right. But what we've got here in the second epistle of Peter is the recipe and the example and the picture. The picture is Jesus Christ. The recipe is this. And so sometimes we say, well, I'll put in my faith and I'll put in my patience, but that's enough patience. I'm going to put some impatience in that, because I'm done with the patience part. I need to move on to the godliness. All right. And then your cake flops and you're like, why aren't I looking like Jesus? Why did I lose my temper? Why did I get mad? So maybe you need to go back to the recipe. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you, you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to go back and say, I'm not doing the recipe right. Because he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten he was purged of his old sins. He can't remember who he was and what God called his name for. Do you understand?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You need to remember why God called you. You need to recognize, you need to know what is in your name. Okay. Because he said, for a start, he says, you take on my name. We take on the name of Jesus Christ. So we need to recognize what's in Jesus' name. But he didn't say, I called you to change your name. I called you as you are to produce something. Oh, this is just so wonderful, folks. Okay. If Jesus Christ could have expressed God completely, history would have ended at that time. Okay? But God says, and I know I've said this before, but it's just mind-blowing to me, and we'll get there eventually in our Great Women of the Bible study. Yeah? Hey, Mary, plan of salvation is in your hands. Please don't drop him on its head, this little baby, because it's kind of important he grows up and saves the whole earth, right? It's crazy to think of that. God put his entire plan of salvation into a young girl's hand who was just about to get married and said, yeah, you got this. No pressure. Well, that's why he didn't tell her the whole story, okay? And that's why you don't know the whole story of where you fit into the God's plans, but you are just as vital to his plans as the Virgin Mary, right? So God says, I am not going to express the fullness of who I am until I express it in you, in your name. And that's why I called your name. And that's why I want you to know what your name means. That's why I want you to know all the ingredients, all the expression that can be in your name. And God's speaking your name, and he's trying to do this to explain to you who you really are and unfold to you by experiences and giving you the picture of Jesus Christ, the perfect, well, you know, the perfect cake in the recipe book, all right? But he didn't do that to say to you, you will never be good enough to bake this cake. He did that to say, if you follow this recipe, and I, as the master chef, I'm going to adjust little pieces here and say, check the temperature. You're doing this wrong. You're beating your eggs too long. You know, taste this. This is perfect al dente. And your pasta, you cooked it for 15 minutes, and it should be 12.5 minutes in these conditions to get this result. And that's what God is doing, and that's what we're doing, is testing in our lives and trying different things in our experience to get to what God is trying to tell us about, okay? So he's giving you experiences to show you what's in your life right now. He's giving you examples to show you what you'll end up. And he's gradually unfolding things that have been in your life all along. Like umami, it's not a new taste. It's been with us for hundreds and hundreds of years. Okay? People have sought after it, but haven't been able to describe it till very recently. But now we can describe it, and we can improve other foods by adding a little bit of MSG if we want to. Some people are allergic. You know, they have a bad reaction. So it's not for everybody. But most people are going to. If you like ketchup, here's a challenge. Well, next time you put ketchup on a piece of potato, if you can't taste all five of those tastes that are present within that, the sweet and the sour, the umami, the salty, and the bitter, all right? And then look at your life and say, what's God trying to express in my life? He's trying to express love. He's trying to express patience. He's trying to express godliness. And look at the situations in your life that you get into and say, did I bring the right ingredient? Maybe I should have brought more love. Maybe I should have brought more forgiveness. Maybe I should have brought more patience in these situations. And pray before the Lord and say, am I doing, am I presenting the right recipe? And he'll say, you did a good job. It's a good start. Here are some things to improve on. Here are some things about you you need to know to line you up to produce the perfectly baked cake. Jesus Christ made alive again in me and you. And I trust that was a blessing. God is calling you to wonderful things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give and how you unfold what our name means to us. May we be aware of that. May we be alive to that and live for you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings that we could gather here today, be with those who couldn't be with us for one reason or another, heal them and comfort them and be with them and give them a good time, Lord, as appropriate. Lord, if I've said anything that is wrong, may it come to your light. But Lord, the words that you have spoken, may they be seeds that plant deep in our heart and bring forth the fruit that you would want from them. And we thank you for your love and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have trust and obey? When we walk with the Lord, and we'll do the whole song here, okay? When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us. Still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear,
Not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Well, I trust that was a blessing. Trust that the Lord will open our eyes to what our name means to him, and we could know what our name means. I wonder, Brother Daniel, if you would dismiss us in a word of prayer.
God bless you all. Before you pray, I would like, if we can read 1 Samuel 10, you can put it up. 1 Samuel 10, 6. This kind of supplements the sermon for today. I was reading it early today in the morning. It's a blessing.
First Samuel 10.
10, 6. I wish that when you get home, read chapter 9 and 10, Saul and Samuel. So, and when Saul was looking for his father's donkeys that had gotten lost, and then he met with Samuel on his way, and God had told Samuel to anoint him to be the king, because the people had desired a king. So on his way, on verse 10:6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. The stress on that, to be turned into another man. Verse 7. Let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou doest occasion to serve thee, for God is with thee. And then we skip to verse 9. And it was so. And when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. So I was thinking about this, and the message that Brother Branham preached, you must be born again. He said, God will give you a new spirit and a new heart. Because the spirit that we have, it can't get along with one another. How can it get along with the Spirit of God? So God has to create in us a different spirit to get along with His Spirit. So kind of to take the recipe in 2 Peter. A different heart and change to be another man, so that all the recipes that God has given us and the promises will accompany that. God bless you.
Amen.
It was the little portion I had. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for you being with us today. Nothing counted us to be among the living, Father. We thank you, Lord, as we come to the end of this service. Thank you for the blessings, Lord. May your presence, Lord, accompany us as we depart from one another. Be with us throughout the week, Lord. Keep us, Lord, under the wings of your love. Bless each and every one of us, Father. Heal the sick, Lord. I stand here, Father, and I was thinking about Brother Greg. Lord Jesus, I commit him to you. You know him, Lord. He's your servant. May your hand of mercy, Lord, and your wings of love be with him and his family. Keep him, Lord, and bless him, Father. And may you put testimony on his lips, Lord, and his family. Commit all these things, Lord, to you. Be with us, Father, as we depart our ways. Lord, speak to us in your own ways. Lead us, Lord, in your straight paths, Lord. We commit our lives to you and ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Lord bless you all.